Today is Tuesday, December 4th, and on this... Not, no, it wasn't this day. Never mind. I was going to do an intro about Lord of the Rings, but I think it was like December 18th every year for 3 years.
It's the last 4th of the year.
Oh, it is. It's the last month of the year. It's Christmas time. Oh, I don't have the snow on this set. I do have a little bit of tinsel on Stacy.
She doesn't care.
Oh, you guys threw... Let's just say there was a bit of a purge of some of the snow from last year's set.
The snow is annoying.
There is a little bit of snow that I will probably put back up.
It got in a lot of places.
A lot of places it did not belong.
And places that something don't belong is a perfect segue into our first story. Now, I think probably about 45 minutes after the first commercial camera phone came into existence... It's probably the first time this happened, don't you think?
Yes.
Probably.
It's ubiquitous, to say the least. But from now on, it might be illegal.
This is the New York Times. So sending lewd nudes to strangers could mean a year in jail. This is apparently a real problem in New York where...
This is a problem everywhere.
With things like AirDrop, when you're on a crowded train, you're just going to get unsolicited dudes.
Yeah, and they interviewed a couple of women. And I think they sort of... It's a little overblown. I mean, no one wants to get a dick pic that they didn't ask for, right? Yeah. Maybe some people do, but these women were like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. It was very unsettling. I was so afraid. And I'm in my 30s, so maybe, but what if a young girl got this? How would it affect her? It could ruin her life. And I was like, really?
I don't know if it would ruin her life, but yeah. I mean, it is unsettling if you're in public and it just shows up on your phone because it's like, is someone following me? Like, there is the danger component.
But they don't have a way of identifying you the same way you don't have a way of identifying them.
Yes.
Unless they see your horrified face when you're looking at your phone, and then it's like, target.
And that's probably the game.
Right? Yeah.
Like, can I figure out whose this is by surveying all the people that I've possibly dropped it to? They also have no way of knowing if you're a woman.
That's true.
Unless it's like girl's iPhone.
Yeah.
Because that's what you see.
Or girl name, yeah.
When you're using your iPhone.
But the lawmakers want to... create up to a year in jail for doing such a thing. It is certainly an antisocial thing. You know,
what's the penalty for like flashing in public?
Probably about the same. I think they're looking at those same laws. Yeah.
In some places it's actually worse. You're actually guilty of a sex crime, which carries all sorts of other weird penalties.
Yeah, that'll get you on the registry, which, you know, I mean, that's going to hurt you and like job searches and housing and stuff as well.
How important the registry is, I think, has been diluted by stuff like that, because it's like, it's gone from, you know, a list of abhorrent monsters to a drunk person peeing in public.
But let's just say there are some resources online, and whenever I look at apartments, I always look at it. The sex offender, there's like a map, but they actually sort by like level of crime. Like the red dots are people who did stuff against children. Green is like, you know, drunk in public or something like that, and flash someone.
That's good. Not every jurisdiction has that, like New York.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Just don't do that. How about, you know?
Don't airdrop your nudes to people.
I wonder what, I mean, there's probably some kind of psychosis, but do you think that some guys actually operate on some kind of fantasy where it's like, once she sees this, she won't be able to resist?
Well, I think
I have a feeling that a lot of the people that watch our show will be able to leave a comment about that.
Well, having been flashed before, unfortunately, it's more of the shock value. You have to not respond when that happens. That's the game, because then once you responded, then it's like, oh, that's what they get off on.
Well, don't you think a better thing to do? I mean, you'd have to like really be expecting it, because like you say, it's shocking. But if you could think quickly, you could be like, oh, how adorable.
Or just
oh my God, it's like a little bird.
It's crazy though, because this starts when you're young though. Like, I remember the first time I was probably like 13 or 14 years old. And it's just like, why should someone have to deal with that?
That's not okay, Timmy.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
And speaking of antisocial things, the Trump administration, or I guess Trump himself.
He's a social person. He's all over Twitter.
Well, yeah. And he does have a lot of people who like him.
For some reason. Yeah.
But one person who would not be counted among those people, the Chinese president, Xi. And so Trump is threatening, or did threaten, when this article came out, 10% tariffs on iPhones. Now, up until now, Apple has been excluded from all the tariffs because of their size and power. But Trump, you know, he was pushing the envelope, and he said, we might do it to Apple.
Yeah. Trump suggests the U.S. could slap 10% tariffs on iPhones and laptops imported from China. And He also said it's highly unlikely that he would delay an increase in tariffs from 10% to 25% on January 1st, just 4 days before a summit with Chinese President Xi. So get your technology in before Christmas, because that's going to be the end of it.
But hang on. The summit happened already.
Yeah.
And it turned out they shook hands. They agreed no new tariffs before January 1st and a 90-day freeze on all existing tariffs.
Okay, so they did delay it.
Just for the holidays.
Maybe. Now,
peace on earth.
I think they could change their mind about that. I don't know how binding it is.
Well,
but for now.
I saw that the Chinese President Xi said that he would be open to a Qualcomm NXP merger. But it was from what I understood, that he sort of realized that the 25% was still coming, but maybe not. So I don't know. He didn't seem to think that the 25% thing was really canceled, although maybe it is frozen. We don't know.
Speaking of bad news for everybody's favorite fruit-branded company, Apple may get a little Supreme Court case in the future.
The Supreme Court could rule against Apple in the App Store antitrust case, say early reports. So things have actually not gone well for Apple in a few past cases, but this is more about the royalties that Apple charges. It's like basically it's our way or the highway, and that 30% is rubbing a lot of developers the wrong way.
Yeah, so they're looking to do like a class action type thing. It's already, I think they ruled for Apple in the lower courts and it's been appealed up. So it's hit the Supreme Court and it's not guaranteed yet, but the Supreme Court has not thrown it out yet, which means they probably are going to take it. So eventually, maybe sometime in 2019, we might have a ruling and we might get App Store competitors. Can you imagine?
It would be cool if you could load third-party app stores on Apple devices. That would be pretty fun.
Well, the government, not just our government. It seems all governments. I mean, you think about...
They're after the side gates.
The EU, UK, definitely Australia, China, forget about it, Japan, and the US, they all hate encryption. And they will go for a long way to break it. But how far will they go? Well, we might be able to find out pretty soon.
Yeah, the DOJ made secret arguments to break crypto, and now the ACLU wants to make them public. So there was this case about the gang violence in Facebook, and so the DOJ made some arguments about why it should be allowed to intercept Facebook Messenger communication, which is encrypted, but the judge's reasoning and the DOJ's argument were sealed, which is probably a smoking gun. It's probably like, well, we're already forcing some sort of Orwellian situation over here, so this should be okay, right? That's probably what it's going to be.
Yeah, they won't release that, but the ACLU is trying to sue so we can at least see what their arguments were when it came to that kind of thing.
It's always bad when basic things like that are done in the dark. I mean, sunlight is the best disinfectant, so you can bet that any time that the government wants to keep this kind of thing in the dark, wherever on the globe your government is located, they're probably doing something most of the population would not agree with.
It's so funny that MS-13 has become this sort of like battleground. You know, like, whenever it's sort of like, oh, think of the children. So the right wingers use MS-13 as the ultimate boogeyman. But the left wingers almost treat them like they're oppressed. You know, like they're the poor Hondurans who just wanted to come here for a better life. And they're being oppressed. And it's just like, it's such a weird thing.
Help, I'm being oppressed.
They are a ruthless gang. You know, there's no mistaking that. But they're not as good or as bad as either side paints them, I'm sure. And speaking of, things that the government won't tell us, how about a little facial recognition?
The Dems demand info on law enforcement's use of Amazon facial recognition tool. So this is an article from The Hill, so it's a political-leaning website. But Amazon's facial recognition tool, they said, this was just a trial, so we don't really need to supply any details. It's fine.
And it's going away anyway.
Well, they said the trial is going to end. But then they dug up the information. It was like, oh, it was scheduled to end. And another one was going to begin. So it was just wordplay. But yeah, a couple of Democratic senators are demanding to know more about it. The big argument here, and I think this is another, it's a terrible argument. Because they're like, it's racist. And because you're probably going to use it more in high crime communities, which happen to be minority communities. But how about the argument should just be, it's unconstitutional. We shouldn't do this to anybody.
I like how technology is like, this is the thing that, like, overall, this is the thing that we have to be really careful about, because unlike, like you could say that not everybody has the opportunity for this or that or the other because of economic or whatever reasons, but with technology, it's information. Everybody has the same opportunity. And so this segmentation into sort of technology haves and have nots is...
You just pissed a lot of people off. Yeah.
Why?
Well,
why
I
do
mean,
we have to do this?
Because... we're sitting here in our ivory tower. How many CPUs are in this room?
Well, I was going to say, too, like, I think about my family. None of them even have a computer or internet access. Like,
but you can, there's no reason that, like, the most, even if you have only a Raspberry Pi, there's no reason that you should be, there's no reason that you should be oppressed by these algorithms.
If you live in a Chicago high rise and nobody in the building has a computer, and walking to the library to use one might get you shot. There's an argument.
Or it's just being used by people looking up porn.
Well, I mean, is somebody's need to look up porn any more important than the person who's looking out for the civil liberties of like, there's this amazing apparatus being built to catalog literally every action that you do so that it can be used as a weapon against you when you do something that, you know, is not liked for political or operational reasons?
Well, you can't. You shouldn't freeze innovation because some people don't have access to it. I'm not really, like, I'm playing devil's advocate there. But we're still making an argument about demographics when we should be making an argument about liberty.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who it's targeting.
There's no reason for this. Just, you know, use the traditional means of going after criminals.
Yes.
Rather than painting everybody as a criminal and then dismissing us one by one.
I was trying to come at that from the other side because... the use of technology does not imply that there's criminal activity going on, and modifying the technology to the nth degree to prevent or to make it possible to do Orwellian level surveillance shouldn't be an assumption. It's like, we have to do this. It's like, no, we don't. We don't have to do this. There's no logical reason to do it at all.
It could save a lot of money, a lot of time.
I think that, I mean, the technology, what I was trying to say was the technology provides the tools for anybody that cares to investigate with a more... truthful version of what's going on without as much spin. Like, you can evaluate for yourself if you just read and understand.
They're not going to give you access
to it. Yeah, you're not going to get access to it, though. It's just going to be a feed that goes straight to the police and they can make up whatever narrative they want.
Yeah, that's the problem. Because the prosecutors are already doing that in a lot of jurisdictions. Like, they'll have evidence and withhold it, and that's not supposed to be a thing, but that happens a lot.
So why spend the money on the surveillance?
You're muddying the water here because it's not clear which side you're arguing.
For what?
Exactly. So, speaking of Battlefield headsets,
Microsoft has won a $480 million military contract to bring a HoloLens to the battlefields. My favorite thing from this article are some of the quotes from the military people, because they're like, the field of view is not great, and you know, this is a prototype. We don't really think this actually works all that great, but it shows promise for the future, which is why we're doing this. And they're picking up, I think, over 2,000 headsets right now, but the possibility is they could order more than 100,000.
Yeah, 2,500 to start with. Now, this thing has a cool list of features, okay? Thermal imaging, super useful. Low light infrared, of course, we've already got that, but in the same package. Hearing protection, hearing amplification, if you need it on the battlefield.
It's a good pickup.
Anti-concussion, I'm not sure how that works exactly. I guess, like, maybe there's a helmet part of it. And, you know, protective for your vision, I guess tinting or whatever if you need it. And this is all going to be on a much smaller. They claim that this is way too big. It has to be sort of like a goggle thing instead of this whole thing.
The HoloLens goggles will protect your eyes from the nuclear fire should you steer into the nuclear
fire. They did talk about HoloLens submitted for this as well. Remember that little stupid rock demo that they had?
Yeah.
And it's like, can you imagine the military guys looking at that and being like, are you kidding? This is serious. People are shooting at you.
I think that, I mean, it's cool. It's cool technology. I mean, you know, war's going to war, but don't you think, I mean, from reading this and some of the quotes from the military people, don't you think the end game is like, well, if it's a version, like, if they could get this to, like, you're playing a version of Mario Brothers and the terrorists are, like, the little Goomba things, I mean, don't you think that's the ultimate end game? It's like, oh, yeah, we're playing a video game here. And it's like, you got 7,000 kills.
Well,
like,
no, I think it's...
kill streak.
That's true, but it's not so much about Mario Brothers. It's about... you just transition directly from Call of Duty to active duty.
Well, think about, like, yeah, like the hearing amplification. Yeah. That's a literal thing, the paranoia package in Call of Duty.
And so you're getting all the exact same feedback that you got in the video games you grew up with. And that, it could definitely, I see what you're saying, like it detaches you from the realities of war.
Yeah.
It could definitely do that, for sure.
That doesn't seem like a good idea.
Here at Level 1 Tax, we are hip. We are right on the edge of modern culture. So much that we weren't sure how to pronounce this guy's name.
We looked it up, and I don't know if it's accurate.
It's Khaled, I think, right? DJ Khaled.
I read it as DJ Khaled. Like, there's like a emphasis in the middle, but I don't know. It's one of those words you read and never have to say.
Well, the headline is Floyd Mayweather and DJ Khaled have been charged for illegally touting crypto offerings. This is the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, because they've ruled crypto as a security. And so they were paid to promote this initial coin offering without disclosing that it was an ad. And they really honestly didn't make a lot of money, so they're going to give the money back and also pay some fines.
And by promote, it was, I think it was like one or two tweets each.
Yeah.
So Mayweather got 100,000, Khaled got 50 for a tweet.
Our next article is from TechCrunch. And it too is absolute mad. I mean, if you saw a tweet from Mayweather on cryptocurrency, wouldn't you think it's an ad? It's like, wow, Floyd Mayweather's really on top of the cryptocurrency.
Wow, look at this guy.
I mean, it was obviously an ad.
Well, and he's his reputation is that maybe not the best reader. So he probably didn't pen him himself at all. Anything you see on his Twitter is probably written by somebody else. But this article, yes, it is absolute madness, and you can definitely agree about that. So the idea here is pretty simple. You can't break end-to-end encryption, and you can't get your backdoor side gate. So what do you do? What's the answer? Well, you just put a gun to the head of the companies that are, you know, creating this encryption and say, add me to the chat.
That's literally...
Player 3 has entered the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's literally what it is. It's so like with Signal... You know, there's a key exchange process if two people want to chat. And the argument from GCHQ is, well, it's not really that big of a deal for these messaging operators to just add the keys for a government observation thing to the chats. And it's like, well, of course, that's just going to be logged and stored forever. I mean, this is textual communication by and large. So the cost of storing literally every message that passes through the entire system is basically zero.
So their argument, their defense of this is wiretaps are already illegal. And this is basically just wiretap for encrypted.
Or you mean legal? They're already legal.
Did I say illegal?
Yeah.
Legal. So yeah, they're saying we can wiretap and this is no different because we're going to have a warrant or a court order and we're going to come to you and you're just going to let us in. But of course, that means that the product is now useless.
Yes. You
know, so.
I also like that... apparently in the UK, they call alligator clips crocodile clips.
I guess they don't have gators, do they?
They don't have crocodiles either. I don't.
Probably not.
I also learned in high school that the druggies call alligator clips roach clips.
Why?
Come on, Krista. You're not fooling anybody. Well, some people who are fooling people are Indian scammers. And this week, they got some comeuppance.
Yeah, after Microsoft complaints, the Indian police arrested tech support scammers at 26 call centers. So as I was reading this, I imagined like SEAL Team 6 deployed to make arrests at call centers. And they arrested a lot of people at a lot of different call centers. 63 people in all.
I got to think they only went after the managers, though, because 26 call centers, they had to be, well, maybe I guess like two or three people per. That might be okay.
Is that a conspiracy? I don't know. These are people that like preyed on the old and the ignorant.
Yeah.
It's like they get a call and it's like, your computer's doing stuff. And it's like, well, okay, what do I need to do? It's like, you need to let us do stuff.
More often they would get some kind of, you know, malvertising or something to pop up that's like, you're infected, call this number.
Yeah.
And once they got you on the phone, they would get remote access. Then sometimes they would actually install bad things and then hold you ransom. And Microsoft was just so angry about it because they... pretend to be from Microsoft. And so they're like, you know, you're kind of killing our brand here.
You're diluting the brand.
Do something about it. And the Indian government was like, okay, bro.
There are a lot of really funny videos on YouTube where smart people have messed with those scammers.
There are people on Twitch who do that's their whole Twitch stream. Like,
oh, I've seen that guy.
And it's so easy to get into these guys. There's a never-ending amount of material for them.
They called my mom's home number once, and I was like, what OS am I running? And he was like, great, see you, bye.
Oops. Yeah, Microsoft points out they will never call you for any reason. No. So in case you don't know, anybody who calls you and says they're Microsoft is not. Also, the IRS generally will not call you. They will send you a letter. Now, if they send you a letter, take that seriously. But they don't call you on the phone.
No, they don't.
So this is from Australia. And, you know, we talk a lot about biometrics and, you know, people getting the chip in their skin. And when is it okay to say no to that kind of thing? And in Australia, at least, that question's been answered.
Never. Never is when it's okay. So the headline is, companies actually can sack workers for refusing to use fingerprint scanners. The Fair Work Commission rejected the case by the Queensland sawmill worker who said scanning system was a breach of his privacy. He did not want to use the fingerprint scanning system to clock in and out of the job site. But they ruled that, yes, you can actually do that. But the article is interesting because it has a little bit of a nuance here, that the employer was actually mishandling the information, like the biometric information, and they're not allowed to collect that, but it didn't really matter in terms of the attendance policy for the sawmill.
Another argument they make, which I thought was very disingenuous, was they said they weren't capturing the entire thumbprint, just the portions of it, you know, because that's how thumbprint readers work. They break it down into sectors and take points of interest and then compare that. But by doing that, you could still beat another thumbprint system.
Yeah.
So yes,
that argument falls pretty flat. But this guy had a point, and I feel like he was kind of dumb to die on that hill, because he certainly did die. He got fired. But he was right, technically.
Yeah.
The best kind of correct.
He's appealing the ruling, so if something comes of the appeal, you'll hear about it at the Level 1 News. We will follow up.
Well, the EU, it seems like the EU, their favorite punching bag is Google. Boy, do they dislike Google. And this week, there's just another shot to the ribs.
Does Google harm local search rivals? An EU antitrust regulators are asking. So they want to know, they've asked Google a bunch of very specific questions about how local search results work and how Google ranks local search results over their own services that they offer for similar stuff. So think like Google Maps. I'm going to use Google Maps to find restaurants nearby. Is that a function of actual restaurants nearby, or Google favoring the people that advertise with Google, or is it just, you know, this mysterious algorithm? These antitrust regulators want to know specifics.
Yeah, and there probably is some truth to that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
There's actually a lot of truth to it, but I kind of like Google search, so.
Yelp was one of the big complainers here. Yelp claimed, because Google will actually, when you're searching for local businesses, they'll sort of aggregate all of the various review sites. I think Yelp is one of them.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same argument they have with Google News. It's like, well, they're not coming to our website because your website is using our website's content.
Well, it's just using the rating. If they want to read about why it has that rating, they have to go to your website.
No, it'll give you a little summary of reviews. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying that's Google's argument, which is not entirely, it's sort of facetious.
Well, China, they're stealing a lot of stuff, right? So they got CPU fabrication techniques stolen. How about turbofans? Stolen.
Windmill designs.
Self-driving technology stolen, but this time they've gone too far. They've taken something of ultimate value.
Samsung's folding screen technology has been stolen and sold to China. So there's actually a lot of people involved in this. Oh, there's the boiler snake.
Boiler snake is really excited about folding screens. We tried to explain.
He can fit it in his coils.
Yeah, we're like, boiler snake, that's not going to catch on. You got this excited about 3D TVs and look where that got us. But he insists. He's like, I want one.
Stop trying to make folding screens happen. It's not going to happen.
One of the demos actually looked really cool. Like, it was a phone size thing and it opened up, and then it was a tablet size thing. And it's like, I could maybe use that.
But when you actually looked at it, the screen looked like garbage. Yeah, like,
well, that'll improve. I really don't think this will take off.
You're probably right. It probably won't. Still need a big keyboard and a comfortable form factor.
I wonder how. Now, the one way that it might be good is if it's far more resilient than glass.
Oh, yeah.
But I wonder also, how is the touch interface? Is that a good experience?
Well, one of the things that makes touch glass good is the glass doesn't give. And so,
that's what I'm saying.
Remember the old touch screens where it had like the rubber membrane on top of it and it would sort of squish?
The little colors would go all wacky when you touched it. Yeah. I don't know. I think they got a long way to overcome that kind of problem. I mean, the Boiler Snake is
hamming it up.
He really is excited. We're going to have a long talk with him later because he's going to be like, how dare you say that about Samsung? He loves Samsung too.
Well, maybe if we switched gears and talked about Chinese government monitoring other things other than stolen intellectual property.
We're not really switching gears because this is another China story. But yeah, this is China stealing more information, kind of, right?
There's got to be a name for like information kleptomania because... The headline is, automakers give the Chinese government access to the location data of electric cars. And you dig into this, and it's literally every business is like, yeah, you have to give the Chinese government information on, like, the cars that report the real time, any kind of data and telemetry that comes from the car, you have to give a copy of that to the Chinese government. That's just the requirement to do business over there.
And we talked about this last week. Everything on that CAN bus is, you know, being slurped up by the computer in your car. And fed back, in almost every case, to the car manufacturer. So that means that China knows everything about every car trip that its citizens make.
Do we honestly think that the U.S. government doesn't know everything about every car trip that everybody makes here either?
Here's the one thing that comforts me about the U.S. They will not reveal their hand by prosecuting anything with that until they absolutely have to. So my speeding is not going to be affected because they would never reveal what they're doing.
Do you think there's some government official who's like, damn it again, Ryan?
isn't that how it worked with the Bond villains, though? Like the Bond villains were just really savvy, you know, businessmen until they were, you know, they were so wealthy and so powerful and had their island volcano lair that there was just no way that anybody could stop them except for Bond. It's kind of like that with the government and the data monitoring.
Kind of like Elon Musk.
Yeah, I mean,
a sociopath with billions of dollars. And
well, I would
a Twitter account.
I would put Elon Musk against Jeff Bezos. I think Jeff Bezos is going to turn Lex Luthor before Elon Musk does. But maybe because he's got me fooled.
Here's the thing: I think Bezos is a pragmatist, and I think Musk is just insane.
Yeah.
So Musk could take some sort of insult on Twitter and try to destroy the Earth. Whereas Bezos is the kind of guy who's like, well, if it makes me a dollar, say what you want about me. Right? Yeah. So you can reason with that.
You know what you can't reason with? The bugs in Windows.
They just keep coming. So this was the October update, which was...
a disaster.
It deleted some files that it wasn't supposed to.
It continues to be a disaster.
And not as much of one, though.
This is pretty bad. The latest Windows 10 update breaks Windows Media Player and Win32 apps in general. So Windows Media Player, the little scrub bar is broken because of some change to some library somewhere that no one noticed because Microsoft fired all the testers and has no real testing program
and
anymore.
Because Windows Media Player, I mean...
You can't associate 32-bit apps as the standard app to open a certain kind of file, like Notepad, for example.
Oh, I've got text files and I want to open it with Notepad. Nope. Got to use the Windows Store for that.
Yeah, well, you can open them. You just can't set that as the default opening app. So, yeah, it is. It's bizarre. Now, they've promised by the end of the month, that's all going to be fixed. So, don't worry.
It's ambitious during the holidays.
They've got your back.
Those poor developers.
Well, again, we talk about end-to-end encryption and the pros and the cons. And here from Iran is a story about a con that is probably going to be used for the backdoor argument.
This app is destroying Iran's currency. So it's Telegram. And so Iranians are using the messaging app Telegram to spread fake news about their currency and make a profit for themselves. So... the U.S. may have had some, like the whole nuclear deal, we pulled out of that. And so that has, their currency was relatively stable until then. It has devalued substantially since then. And so all these messages are like, oh my gosh, this thing happened and now our currency is worthless. And more people are buying into that because it's probably going to happen eventually. It just hasn't really happened
yet.
Yeah. I mean, it's happened a little bit.
Well, it happened enough.
Like 200%.
It set that fear in.
Yeah.
And so what these guys are doing, they create these channels and you can sort of subscribe to the channel. And it's still end-to-end encryption, but it's sort of a mass broadcast that you opt into. So they're getting on there and they're fear-mongering. And these are the people selling the dollars. So what they'll do is they'll fear-monger you into selling your real at a lower price because you fear that, you know, the bottom's falling out, but it's fake news. the bottom's not really falling out. And then...
But it is helping the... It's helping accelerate the bottom fallout because it's so widespread.
And the government doesn't know what to do about it. So, yeah, just...
it's those Western devils, I guess, again.
I mean, it's in that environment, you want to diversify.
Yeah.
Get some dollars, get some gold, get some real estate. You don't want one of anything because you never know what's going to happen.
Get some cows, camels, whatever. A little bit of everything.
You could buy some Dell computers, but you better be careful. Use a gift card.
You're going to build Noah's Ark of financial planning, but that's not a... That was probably insensitive. What? Dell announces a security breach. Company says it's detected an intrusion at the start of the month, but financial data was not exposed. Just everything else. It's probably not a complete breach, but Dell customer records, so like your name and address and probably what you bought, but they're not really talking about it, which is disconcerting.
Yeah. Now, very, very light on details. I think they still are not sure. So what they've actually said, we can't guarantee they got anything out, but they might have. So what does that tell you? It tells you nothing. They have apparently contacted people who might be affected. So
womp womp.
Got an email from Dell. That might be real. Might not be a scam. So.
I hate it when those emails come and it's like, this looks like a scam, but it might be legit. I hate it when they do that on purpose. It's like, let's put a lot of images and a lot of flowery
stuff that'll flag it.
Yeah. And it's like, this doesn't look legit.
Well, another thing that might not look legit are some malvertising that you're going to see on iOS recently.
ZDNet has this article about U.S. iOS users were targeted by a massive malvertising campaign, and it was deployed via an ad network, but it could take over your browsing session. So the scammers were able to place ads on a well-respected ad network, which meant that a lot of major sites were carrying these malicious ads. And so, like, these ads look like they're from Amazon or whatever. They're
You've
not.
Won.
Pro tip, Amazon does not give out $1,000 gift cards. Ever. Just doesn't happen. Don't fall for it.
But what if this one time it was true for me?
No.
What if?
Definitely, what if they're never going to do it. They don't need to. Jeff Bezos would shoot himself in the foot before he gave you $1,000 gift card for free.
He won't even give those hardworking factory workers a dollar an hour raise.
He won't even let them pee. He's certainly not going to do anything for you. And another place that's not going to do anything for you is Marriott, except for lose your data.
It's not just Marriott. It's a lot of places, but the TechCrunch headline is Marriott says 500 million Starwood guest records have been stolen in a massive data breach. This data breach might be one of the worst that we have ever covered on the Level 1 News. The assailant apparently had access to this entire system since 2014. And they probably got the financial details and the credit card details that was encrypted, but they were so deep in the system, they probably also got the decryption keys. And they've been in there forever, just monitoring the system, poking around, doing some little system administration on the side for Marriott, I guess. They only recently got them out of the network. It was pretty much, they were so deep, it was pretty much impossible to remove them from the network.
Seems like hotels are really bad about getting hacked.
Astonishingly bad.
I think it's probably that they just don't
care.
Do anything about the security. Yeah. Because all of those places are sort of like their own little...
Yep.
Are those franchised?
Not exactly, but like the Starwood Preferred Guest thing, a lot of hotels participate in that.
I thought Marriott is the franchise.
Well, Marriott...
No, but I'm saying, do you pay a licensing fee and run your own, or are they...
I think you have to pay a licensing fee for the Starwood thing, but it gives you a lot of perks as a
restaurant. But I'm saying, as an individual owner, you're responsible
for your
cybersecurity. So there's probably a lot of,
Honestly, that's probably a large part of the problem, because the hotel owners are like, these people are responsible, and those people are like, no, you're responsible.
Yeah, yeah, and they're cutting all the corners they can.
Yeah.
Because, they're trying to make profit, so... Yeah,
it's, here comes the industry regulation. Woo!
Well, I'm sure it's heavily regulated, but, we just don't have the information laws.
Anyone to enforce it or care?
I do wonder if GDPR covers hotels. I bet it does.
For the international people.
That article mentioned because it happened now, it started in 2014, but because it's happening now, they might go for the 4% thing.
Yeah.
They could get crushed by this. Ooh. 4%. Not of what was leaked, of everything, of their income.
Any of you Euros come to the U.S. on a vacation, it's going to be an exciting time for you.
come visit beautiful Kentucky.
No, don't.
We have bourbon, horse farms, and hiking.
We don't need tourists. There's enough traffic. Well, we talked about, lately we've been talking more and more about Linux malware. You know, it seems to be catching on, especially in the server space. Now, this one's not really OS specific, but you got to think most of the web servers were running this were Linux. This is a JavaScript malware.
Yeah, JavaScript malware. This is amazing. So the malware was snuck in, and it was a package managed by Node, like the Node package manager thing. And this was just a library. Like, they updated it once to sort of introduce some, let's say, vulnerable functions. And then there was a second update that was sort of a second stage payload. But this was actually a really sophisticated attack. The attackers knew that a company that maintains a cryptocurrency wallet software, it was Copay? Copay.com?
Copay was the website that... Well, they infected a bunch of any... So they targeted an ad network, but they knew that Copay was on that ad network. So the malvertising, they knew it was going to go to Copay, so they targeted the Copay's wallets.
So they had to get a weakness into the Copay software to make it exploitable from the ads.
The ad ran the library,
yep,
which ran the malware.
Which collected the wallet.
Which collected the keys for the wallet.
Yeah.
So it was a
fairly elaborate.
Yeah, and you had to know a lot of the moving parts.
Yeah.
To see it. You had to know that they were running this library. You had to know that they were on this ad network. Then you had to infiltrate every part of that.
And know that they weren't auditing the code from, because no one ever audits the code.
But, you know, I hate to say it because, you know, we benefit when you don't use an ad blocker. But this is a situation where an ad blocker would have completely saved you from this.
Yeah.
So.
Maybe also the enterprise should not be built on NPM. I mean, as somebody, I'm used to, Debian-style package management where, you know, a quorum of 50 neckbeards have to agree on a package update, which is why Debian is the way that it is. And with NPM, it's just like, I'm going to write a library that returns the number 13 that the entire planet is going to come to depend on. Woo! No! No JS! Woo! Sorry.
Here's a warning for some of our viewers, because I feel like some of them might use a service like this. When you order a massage to come to your home, right?
As one does.
You might want to be careful about propositioning them to perform a sex act.
TechCrunch has the headline, "The Urban Massage exposed a huge customer database, including sensitive comments on its creepy clients." So they're legit. They don't offer that service. But if you ask for that, you'll be
blacklisted
in the database.
And that was one of the things that was leaked. Not only your personal details, but any notes that were made about you by the masseuses to warn other masseuses that were going to come later. And some of those were requesting happy endings or just being disgusting, you know, like unhygienic and things like that. Imagine how embarrassing that is. On the dark web, there's your name, address, information about payment, and that you're creepy.
Or just gross, like this person's really oily.
Sleep well.
Oily. Yeah, don't want to get your hands all oily.
Now, we know we got to do a correction. I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but we said that T-Series had overcome PewDiePie.
They were close.
That's not true.
But they are on a trajectory that is almost assured to over... They have not overtaken him yet. But it turns out there's a huge... And which is... This is hilarious because... you know how like when a celebrity dies, all of a sudden everybody loves him? Like now that he's under fire, I feel like everybody hated PewDiePie. Like he was sort of the punching bag, right? But now the entire neckbeard world has come to defend him.
Someone hacked printers worldwide urging people to subscribe to PewDiePie. Also, PSA, if you're an IT administrator and your printer starts printing this, you haven't done your job.
Scroll down so they can see the printout. This was all over Twitter this week.
Yeah, your printer just randomly prints this page. You know, attention, PewDiePie needs you. What do you need to do? I'll just unsubscribe from T-Series and subscribe to PewDiePie.
This is, I think this has really kind of grown beyond YouTube even.
Yeah.
Apparently in India, this is sort of like a national pride kind of thing.
Well, it could also be that if you are on an Indian IP, here's a fun experiment for you. Use your VPN and select an Indian endpoint and then sign up for YouTube using an incognito or otherwise fresh browser. And it seems to immediately subscribe you to T-Series because you signed up in India.
So maybe it's not...
The plot thickens.
Could be some payments happening there.
Google's had it with PewDiePie being the largest channel. They want to just...
Well, T-Series is certainly more corporate friendly, right?
Yeah.
Because...
Some Bollywood and stuff.
Yep.
Well, I think it's music videos.
Yeah.
So...
Indian music videos.
But hey, Google and T-Series making a lot of money.
But I think, you know, a lot of these are sort of like, oh no, what will PewDiePie do? Like, the distance between 2 and 3 is still massive, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's still...
What will PewDiePie do? Laugh on his throne of cash.
Unimaginably popular.
Yeah, he'll still be on his channel doing the same thing, still making money, still streaming.
It's like the guy that's on the throne of Cat 5 cable, except it's cash instead of Cat 5. That's PewDiePie.
So, I don't know. I hope he wins. You know? I hate to see, like, the corporate overlords and then, you know, the stupid music videos take over.
They should be uploading more quality content like our Intel skit.
Our Intel skit was amazing.
It was the
And most high of you quality. Haven't even seen it.
Well, some of them probably have, and they're like, this is not for me.
It was news, but it was not any kind of real news. So, all right, we'll see you in the next one. What do we got coming up this week? We got the nonsense.
Well, it was weird. So this was government and security. And then we will have business... Just a little bit of social. I think there's like 2 Facebook stories this week. And a little bit of science.
A morsel.
And then on Friday, we will have robots, which is, we usually don't have robots as a standalone, and everybody's favorite nonsense.
Woo!
Merry Christmas.
Not yet.
It's not time
for that. Bye!